Can you talk a little bit about the guerrilla gardening action and why gardening? What does that have to do with corporate globalization and international development policies?
The gardening action is the root of a lot of things that are happening in this world. Basically, we are right now all in need of the corporate agribusiness. We are in need of them because that's how they have structured it, and we do not need to be. We can set all the green spaces in our cities, in our towns. We can have these green spaces turned into food, to gardens, for food, for our communities, and we can sustain ourselves. This is something that can happen, even though they tell us all the time that we won't be able to do it. There's too many. It can be done. It is hopefully the beginning of just stopping their rule over our food and their poison that they're giving us.
Okay, now in this guerrilla gardening action, are you focusing on, you know, planting food crops or other types of plants? And, you know, how did you decide what it was that you were going to plant?
Well, we're planting trees, herbs, and food because all of life is being exploited by the corporate world right now, and that has to change. What has been structured in this week of actions is a tree canvas that goes on. We have saplings that are going out to neighbors, to neighborhoods all over the city to see if people would like a tree or people would take care of a tree that's planted for them. There's also what we did this morning, which is we went to an organic farm in the city and we helped them. They need help. They have a 2-acre plot and they don't have enough people. We went there with a crew of about 12 and helped them out. And that is really building good community support. People in the community are really into this action. People are really into what it stands for. And as well, a lot of the people that are doing this action are from outside of this community, but we don't want it. We don't want it to be stepping on the people in this community's toes. We are here to show the corporate world, to show the IMF and the World Bank that we're pissed. But we also are not trying to hurt what's going on here in D.C. already. It's just much bigger than that, but working with the community has been amazing so far.
How can people become involved in helping on a day-to-day basis if they are around in the area?
Sure. The garden is called Urban Oasis. It's at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in the Anacostia neighborhood, and you can call the Anacostia neighborhood, the St. Elizabeth Hospital for contact phone numbers.
Now, are you yourself from here, or, you know, where do you live? What kind of community is it? Do you live in a city? Do you live in a rural area?
Well, for the past few years, I've been living in a city, and our community had set up quite a few gardens there. Recently, I've been in a rural area on a farm, kind of back, learning more and finding more to myself. Now I'm here. And I don't live here, but I've been living on the East Coast a while, and I'm here to tend to these gardens if they make their way through. So I don't live here now, but I could if it's needed.
Do you have any idea how much land would it take for a family of four to take care of most of its fresh vegetable needs if they were growing their own food?
Roughly a half acre. It's an extremely easy thing to do. The space that is out there is there for people. That 1 acre could feed a half a neighborhood.
What kind of response have you had from the police and other similar authorities so far in terms of your guerrilla gardening action?
Well, so far nothing has been done illegally. Nothing. We were just working with the community gardeners, which is our more main focus is really working on for right now is working with community gardeners, and we haven't had any interactions with the police yet.
Do you think that might happen?
I do.
What about people that have no experience in gardening before? Will they learn?
With a group of people doing it in a communal way, you don't need to have too much experience. There's people here that do have experience, and planting is a very wonderful and basic thing.
How have you gotten your materials? Have they been donated? Have you been starting seedlings and bringing them in anticipation of the action, or what?
We've had seedlings going. We have gotten donations. We really don't have much. We've been putting it out for the last few months in our organizing that affinity groups should come with their own tools and their own things, just for the fact that we can't supply that. There's going to be too many people here. There's going to be too many things going on. We will take everything that we can to plant, and that's like it's all on donations. It's totally grassroots. We haven't spent a dollar. We don't have a dollar. So.
Is there anything that you'd more that you'd like to say, you know, about this particular action or about any larger issues that you feel connect to this?
Well, I feel this connects to the biggest issue, which is corporate control of the world. Agriculture is really their strong point in my eyes, because food is something that everyone needs. Though capitalism can fall and people will go on with no food, they won't go on. So we have to really take our food back. We have to control. We have to claim. We have to reclaim our food, so they don't have control over it forever.
This is a protest. You can protest the bad, you know, that is, the things that you don't like, the things that are not positive. But at the same time, you can work on demonstrating what the alternatives are to that. And that's kind of how I look at this. Is this something that everybody involved in the action is kind of one vision on?
Well, yeah, we do share that vision. And really, this started working after what happened in Seattle and the image that people, especially anarchists, got in Seattle, because anarchists are not just about breaking windows, though it is something that needs to happen. It cannot be condemned because it does need to happen, but we also are here to show that we want to bring life back to this earth. And here, with the way things are set up, we need to keep organizing. We need to keep people into us, and negative images are something that we don't need, and we are not about. It is not a negative thing. This is a very positive and very well thought out vision that anarchists that I've talked to have. And instead of breaking windows in D.C., we'll be breaking ground.
Have you been involved at all with some of the community gardens movements that are in places like New York City?
Not too much in New York City. I have been involved in some through the Midwest, in Minnesota and Chicago, and just helping out. I haven't really organized much throughout that. I've gotten a lot of ideas from the things like that. We've set up a few. We just started last year setting up rooftop gardens in Chicago, which was for Food Not Bombs. They're Food Not Bombs gardens that were grown by the people who worked with Food Not Bombs and then distributed throughout the community.
Are you using any permaculture techniques for that type of thing?
Basic permaculture technique. We aren't focusing on it. We're basically just kind of getting into this, and by starting, we're just going with an organic way, and it'll get more complex as things roll on. We want to see how things work. We're testing. You know, this is a really new thing, and it's new in a lot of ways like that. So.
Okay, well, one of the issues, you know, if you're talking about, you know, growing and eating locally. One of the things that occurs to me, and you know, in a lot of places, is you're dealing with a winter situation where there's no growing happening. Have you been giving thoughts to greenhouses or what other alternatives that people might deal with if they were going to say, okay, we're going to try to give ourselves our food needs here, we're going to get organized in our community, get our gardening going, but what do we do in the winter? What do we do in the winter in Minnesota?
Well, I'll tell you, in Minnesota, we have started something which we feel is a great step and something that will work by dumpstering windows. Windows from buildings are thrown out all over the place. We have been putting them together, constructing them into greenhouses, which you can put with wood stoves and heat them and grow throughout the winter. It's a tricky thing, especially in Minnesota, but it can be done. And we are in testing of it right now. We didn't do it last winter.
Using a system like that, are you somewhat limited? I mean, in other words, do you confine yourself then to, like, you know, early spring and fall type crops, or can, like, you go the whole hog on tomatoes? You know, what have you found with your kind of window greenhouses? How warm do those get?
Well, I mean, it's all in testing right now because we are very low budget, and we can there are full 365 days a year. Greenhouses that are in Minnesota, but they're pretty high tech.
Yeah.
And we aren't about that because we don't want to be using any sort of resources that they give us except for what we can dumpster and what we, you know, what is here for us already.
Are any people planning to, like, make up any, you know, books or, you know, put the stuff up on the web as kind of a primer for people to, you know, share what they learned in one place and another place? Or is anybody working on something like that?
Well, to be honest, I've being here for a few weeks now, I've talked to a few people that have been interested in it. I am very I'm not very advanced in the technological world, so I don't know very much about it. It's a great idea, and we're open to anything anyone can state about that to us. Like, it's anyone that can help us, because we would put things on the web. We would, because we feel that, like, just starting this action is just a beginning. Well, to be honest with you, it's going to be happening for May Day in other countries. There's guerrilla gardening actions that are happening in London and all other places, and a few other places. But it's like, this is the beginning of something really big, and if it was available on the web, it could be even bigger, because there's cities all over this country that need gardens all over the place, and if we can help motivate people, that's what we're here for.
Well, I mean, the reason why I say this is, of course, I'm sure you know that gardeners in New York City are actually facing brutal treatment. You know, gardens have been beaten, forcibly bulldozed, and all of that kind of stuff, which is something I think that surprises people. Are people discussing, how to deal with those aspects when you have a situation where the garden is seen as a terrible threat to the established powers?
Well, I think we have to. I mean, it's obviously sounds great, ridiculous, and there's nothing we can do except for roll with their punches and play their game, and it's like any other resistance. It's just we do what we feel is right, and if they come and bring us down, we're just going to come back stronger every time. And sooner or later, they have to realize that growing food is not a violent or intimidating thing to any part of their social structure except for their money.
You know, I would say it definitely intimidates their concepts of private property.
Their wasted private property that sits there for 20 years as a vacant lot, even though they own it, is waste. And we don't. I personally have no respect for private property in that way, in wasted private property, because there is too many things that can be done with it for communities and to keep communities strong, which is the basis of this country when it was taken over.
You were with the Minnehaha Free State as well, and you worked with the Mendota people there. Yeah,
I did. Yes.
What did you learn from them in terms of their concepts of, you know, property, gardening, community, all of these things? You know, what kind of cultural exchange happened with the activists who, you know, let's just call it the Earth First and other, you know, American, let's say, activists, and the Mendota people?
Well, that was just an amazing thing. They've lived their lives through community. And it's not really a new concept to them, even though as like white activists or whatever, community is really a new thing, because it's something that we weren't brought up, most of us, because we were brought up by the TV, and that doesn't teach you community. It does, and that was just an amazing thing, because it's like it's not a new concept to them, so it's just a part of their life. And it's in seeing that, you see how basic those things are and how well they work, and with gardening. It's obvious, you know, they were hunting and gathering was what they did, and to not do that is weird. It's out of the ordinary for them not to be growing their own food, and for them to not to be seeing themselves as much as they can in the situation that they're in.
You mentioned growing up with TV, and I'm wondering for you personally, at, you know, what point in your growing up process did you determine that there was something wrong about the way things were? How did that happen for you? If you remember.
I do. It was a long, slow process. It really was, because I didn't have an influence. To be honest, I grew up in a suburb, and I had no alternative insight by any means. I was on Grateful Dead tour, and that got me into a communal way. And that really started turning me on to things. And then just slowly, I grew up in a city that was big enough to where I saw demonstrations happening, and soon enough got to plug in. But it was my own, it was me doing it myself, and it was really hard, and it took me a long time. I would have been in it much sooner if I had that opportunity. So it's something that I had to go out and find very hard. And that I fear with a lot of people that would be into the resistance and into the revolution if they weren't stuck in their suburbs, if they weren't totally, like, sheltered. And that is something that I really try to focus on, going through and trying to talk to people that wouldn't usually get talked to, and not just going to the cities, but trying to go to the suburbs somewhat and things like that.
how receptive do you find that people are? I mean, what do you say to kind of break the ice?
with gardening in specific, it's such a basic thing. It's like, would you like food? Would you like to grow your own food so you don't have to buy food? And right there, people are turned on to it. People are, in any context, it's like, in any situation that they're into not spending more money if they don't have to. And though that's not the only reason, it's just a way to really get people into it. And any time that I've talked to people, it's a very positive thing, and they're all into it. So, I mean, I've gotten very positive feedback on helping. I've set up 4 gardens this year in different places on my trek out here, and just help people with their gardens and help set up new ones in Philly and stuff. And it's cool. I mean, people dig it, and as long as you make that available to them. And that's the key, like making things available to them, because they, in being stuck in their TV culture that they don't even, you know, most of them don't want to be in but have see no other way to be, don't have the availability to do things like that and lose a lot of their, they don't have the personal insight to be able to just go out and do things like that. But if people come in and help them start it, they're into it and they'll do it.